A good ending is important. Will the opera end with a tearful heroine standing over the body of her dead lover? Will the movie end with the two women friends driving off a cliff in their open-top car? Will the new Bond movie end with... How will it end, the divine comedy, the human story, our world? How will it all end, with a bang or, as T.S. Eliot suggests, a whimper? For about 30 years, those who were around thought it would end with the fulfilment of the communist dream, the whole world embracing the doctrines of Karl Marx, like it or not, welcome to the communist utopia. And that dream died with the horrors of Ceausescu, the gulags, Pol Pot, the first pick to bite into the Berlin Wall. They thought, too, that human perfectibility would bring some kind of glorious fulfilment, that it would all just get better, that we would all just get better. Progress, improvements, development, science, bringing hope till everything was just dandy for everyone. Well, reality soon poured ice-cold water on that naive notion. The world remained stubbornly resistant to learning the ways of justice and sharing, the ways of peace and mercy. And science seemed to bring as many anxieties as it brought benefits. Penicillin or sarin nerve gas, wonder drugs or weapons of mass destruction. How will it all end? When the sun dies and we all perish with it? Or, as the futurologists and the billionaires suggest, will we planet hop till humanity finds a new Eden to settle in and populate out there among the stars? Or is it never actually going to end at all? Just the wheel turning, the never-ending cycle of repeats, like some ghostly satellite television station showing endless reruns of your favourite programme. No closure, no last episode. How will it all end? And does it matter if, as some say, we humans won't be there to see it, so why bother thinking about the unthinkable? The great painters of the world had a particular, almost lurid interest in how it would all end. And their vivid depictions cover the ceilings and walls of the great churches and cathedrals of the world, as they showed the end of things to be about God's power and judgment, Christ the victor, King of kings and Lord of lords, with the world as his footstool, and the forces of evil and rebellion banished to the fires of hell. Christianity, with its profound interest in the speckled history that is our past, its keen concern for our present lives and how we live them, also addresses our future. How it will all end. And the imagery, symbolism and vision expressed are clear and intriguing. There's talk of weddings, banquets, great victories, wonderful choirs filling the universe with glory, healing and wholeness, perfection, completion, closure, meetings and welcomes, safe harbours, happy lands, far, far away, many roomed mansions. Oh, and let's not forget, judgment. When the books are opened and the question is asked, what did you do with Christ? The question is posed, did we care for him? Did we reach out to him? Did we listen to him? When he was hungry, did we feed him? When he was naked, did we clothe him? When he was sick, did we visit him? Or did we, in our indifference, watch him be crucified and care not a jot? Are we with him or against him? Interesting themes, interesting conversations. There are really two aspects to this question. How will it all end in general? And how will it all end for me? The cosmic issue, the personal matter. And Christianity has a response for both, a vision for both. According to the Judeo-Christian worldview, the world, the universe and everything had a beginning in the purposes of God, and it will have an end in the purposes of God. The symbols of creation and the imagery of the Last Judgment all highlight the conviction that purpose underpins existence, that we are not trapped on a meaningless carousel, heading nowhere, signifying nothing, without reason or direction, but that love brought things into being, and love heals the brokenness of fallen creation, and love will gather everything up in wholeness, because God is love. That's a distinctive vision that points to final resolution of the mystery that is our human experience, a resolution where the power and purpose of God speak the last word, have the final say, as it should be. The Bible alerts us to this eventual gathering up of the story and reminds us that in the end, in the last analysis, nothing will thwart the purpose of God. And anything or anyone that persists in rebellion will be swept away, carried away, lost, if belligerently and stubbornly they resist the call of love, stand arrogant and proud in defiance of God. And that is an option. You can do that if you want. Men and women may choose it. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven, they say. But to do this is to court disaster, is to meet the inevitable and inexorable judgment of God, who will not allow, because he cannot allow, sin and disobedience to hamper, hinder, or spoil. So cling defiantly to those denials of God's authority and bear the terrible consequences of your choice, your rebellion. The shocking, frightening, and ghastly representations of those consequences in the symbolism of hell and judgment by Michelangelo and others, based on the powerful and vivid language of the Bible, is an attempt to make us take it all seriously. There is a choice to be made, and the choice has eternal repercussions. So on the cosmic scale, the bottom line is this. Though evil and sin may stalk and seem to dominate the world, causing mayhem and ugliness to scar creation, in the end, when all is said and done, love is the only eternal truth, and the love of God will triumph. Band of Brothers was a wonderful TV series. The courageous men of E Company landing in Normandy on D-Day to begin the assault on Nazi Germany's occupation of Europe. And the truth was that from that moment in history, from the moment they landed on French soil, the game was up for Hitler and his henchmen. That pivotal moment, that bridgehead, was defining for the shape of the future. Sure, it would take many, many months more of struggle and bravery, challenge and sacrifice, but the die was well and truly cast, and the victory of the Allies was waiting up ahead. When the Christ comes among us, when the bridgehead of God's love is established in our world, then the game is up for the alternatives to God's way. There are many skirmishes still to be struggled through. God does not assault and oppress us with his love in our hearts. He abides in our fallen, weak flesh. So it's no overnight magic wave of a wand stuff. So there is no overnight magic wave of a wand stuff. Instead, there is for his followers, his church, the life of faith, the long haul, the hard road, the uphill climb, the pilgrim way. There is waiting, and with the whole of creation groaning for the end. But make no mistake, the game is up for hate and death, foulness and rebellion. The victory is won. The victory is won. But here we are, ourselves not the finished article, and still in the fight. The rearguard action of godless secularism is fierce and relentless. But the hope is glorious, and the promise is pure gold, like silver refined seven times in the fire. In answer to the question, is this all there is? We can give a confident response that in the purposes of God, this is by no means all he has for us, his children. And the promise of tomorrow is guaranteed by the Christ of Calvary and the Spirit of the living Christ in the church now. And meanwhile, and for now, we continue to live in the tension of the not yet all that we might be in him, not yet all that we shall be, not yet there, but on the way, not yet received the fullness of his promise, but soon, soon and very soon, we shall see the King. Soon and very soon, we shall join our song with the song of heaven. Our faith is not some vague, earnest longing, some kind of fingers crossed, wishful thinking for the future. It is our deepest trust in Christ, our listening to his promise, assured by his coming to us, his life and death and rising. And we open the window of our soul to his future. Our hope and our trust are in him, and that is why we sing. The tide of time shall never his covenant remove. His name shall stand forever, his changeless name of love. Amen.